with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. This is your Bournemouth versus Manchester United preview and also quite a lot of updates we didn't talk about last night in relation to David Ornstein talking about Mainoo's future and also Fabrizio Romano talking about the centre-back situation and the volume of transfers that Manchester United are likely to make this summer. So good morning. Hope you're all doing very well. We're a little bit early if you're watching live, but I did say I've got a big game going on just after 10:30 this morning. My daughter's playing for her academy in a cup final. So we're live a little bit earlier. So I thought let's combine the news with a preview for Bournemouth. And I am on That's Football later for the FA Cup semi-finals as well, up the Villa. But let's go. And I want Villa to do well because Rashford plays for them as well. You know, that's good for us, like Amrim said yesterday. But look, just a few of the headlines from the transfers. It's David Ornstein that says that Mainoo is quite likely to stay. It's Fabrizio Romano talking about Man United being very busy in the transfer window and an update on the centre-back situation there as well. But let's get into the Bournemouth game first of all, because there was a couple of bits from Amrim's interview yesterday that I sort of missed on the press conference, which are actually very important in relation to this preview. I think we've got to go strong today, but he did say Ahmad and De Ligt are very close, but heaven's not quite there. And I don't think that should be sort of dismissed at this stage of the season and where we're at. We were talking about this on, I think, Wednesday morning. I said that Ahmad's basically back and somebody went, well, he's not back, is he? He's not back. Well, he is back. He's been back training on grass. He's been back doing gym work for quite a while. It's about when he's back training with the first team. Now, as Fabrizio has confirmed, and as we suspected, he will be pretty much back when United decide to push him. And we're expecting that to be pretty much after the Bournemouth game, with a chance of him being on the bench for Spain, but back for the first leg at Old Trafford. The trajectory of that is pretty much what we always said, late April, early May. I'll tell you what, I think if the second leg was at Old Trafford next week, he'd be back. That's what I've been told. I think the club are like, they want to be as careful as they can, but he's such an important player. And do you need him in Spain? Probably not. Do you need him at Old Trafford? Yes. So that's when we expect Ahmad. But the fact that De Ligt is close as well, again, United will do the same thing. With Delo's injury, you don't need to rush De Ligt back. We can see we can get a back five out for Bournemouth. Whether De Ligt will be back for the game in Spain, I think he's a little bit more important, because in Spain we want to defend well. And you'd like to say Mazraoui maybe go to right wing back, Dorgu go to left wing back and put De Ligt in there with Maguire and Yoro. We'll have to wait and see on that one. This is how I think we'll line up. I think it's an important game. I was looking at the Premier League table and Bournemouth, I mean, terrible run of form for Bournemouth recently. They've won one of their last six. They're in eighth place. They can get European football. I think eighth place will get European football. They're not going to get any higher. They're now 8 points off Villa in seventh. So they're sort of in a three-way, four-way, really, with Brentford, Brighton, Fulham and Bournemouth, who've all had very good seasons, and we are miles off them. For context, we're 11 points off Bournemouth. But I think for context next season, that's quite an important point. We're 11 points off Bournemouth, and Bournemouth have had a good season, and we've had an absolutely terrible season. So it just shows you that this is going to be our worst ever Premier League season. And we're 11 points off Bournemouth, who've had a good one. I mean, we're 20 off Villa. I mean, 20, we're not making that up in a season. I'm sorry. We're not going to make that up next season. I'd be amazed if we make 20 points. But you would make 10 points. You'd make 10 points on the premise of bringing in someone like Cunha, a couple of other players as well. So this is what I mean about expectations for next season. I can see us going from 14th to 8th. I think going from 14th into the top six is probably going to be a step too far, but we've got to make those strides. And I do think it's interesting when you think, well, Bournemouth are 11 points ahead of us and we've been rubbish and they've had a good season. So that's the sort of progress we've got to look to make in the summer. Minimum, I'd like to make the 20 points, of course. I'd like to put us in the top four. But Bournemouth at home, are they anything to worry about? Well, look, we know they've got some good players. Semenyo's a player that we've been linked to. They're aggressive, they're quick, they press, they're organised. I think Kerkez is a very good player that we've been linked to, probably going to go to Liverpool. But their home record's very meh. You know, they've played 16 games, 7 wins, 3 draws and 6 losses. So they don't really draw many games at home. They're a bit of an either-or. And offensively, they're not amazing. They've scored 20 goals at home, which is less than Brighton have scored. It's less than Tottenham have scored. It's less than we've scored at home. So they don't score loads of goals at home. Defensively, very good. They've conceded less than Arsenal. So it might not be a game with loads of goals in it, which is why I think it will be a draw. Now, my team is actually better than I thought it was going to be. I think we've got to go strong against Bournemouth. I don't know what your thoughts are. Super early bridge, losing first team players is worrying, says Dunny. Thanks very much for your super chat, pal. So good morning to everybody. I sort of got lost there for a minute. I thought, you know, sometimes my previews are done as a pre-record. I did for a moment when I was doing the team, just about to do the team, completely forgot I've got a live chat. So morning, everybody. Are you going to do the Eubank watch along, Mark? No, I actually think that very quickly about that. I think that fight's an absolute. I like boxing. I think that fight's a joke, actually. I think it's, you know, Eubank against Ben when I was growing up was proper. I just think this is a gimmick, really. So I don't do gimmicks. Anyway, let me get into the football match. I don't think Bournemouth against Man United is a gimmick. Obviously, it's also important to mention in relation to the Premier League that if we were to win this game, we could go up to 13th. We're in 14th at the moment, but we're only 2 points off 17th, and we're more likely to drop down, aren't we? So I don't see us winning at Bournemouth, but I think we have to go strong. We've had a week off. People will be worried about injuries, but I don't see a scenario where if Amrin picks Maguire or Ugarte and they get injured, people can say he should have rotated. We haven't had a game for a week. There is an argument in football that if you've played on a Thursday night, rotation's important, but when they haven't played for a week, they actually need game time to keep their sharpness up. So we've got to play as many of our first team players in this game as possible. Thursday, Sunday is quite a big gap. These players haven't played in a week and they're not playing again until Thursday. So they're more than capable of putting in 90 minutes against Bournemouth on Sunday after a week off in preparation for a game on Thursday. So I would go as strong as possible. Obviously, Onana will be in goal. Mazraoui, Maguire and Yoro. Move Dorgu to right wing back, Amas left wing back, and then play Ugarte and Casemiro, Bruno, Garnacho, Rasmus. That's what I would do. He might change it. One of the positives is not only have we got Ahmad and De Ligt on the verge of coming back, which will obviously strengthen our bench, we will also have people like Mainoo, Shaw and Mount on our bench for this game. Obi as well. So the bench is... the bench is getting stronger. And look, Dalot is a big, big loss for Manchester United. But as I say, whilst Mount and Shaw are fit and on the bench, and Mainoo is back, and Ahmad and De Ligt are on the way back, we have got some, you know, decent-ish options on the bench. I mean, obviously, we still need to be very active in the summer transfer window, but it's better than it could have been. I expect the team to do well on Sunday. Tomorrow, I expect the team to do well because you're playing for your place now. There is competition starting to happen on the bench, especially around the midfield. So if I'm Ugarte, Casemiro, Garnacho, I'm looking at the bench and I'm going, well, he can drop Bruno in the midfield and drop one of us. Mainoo could come in, Mount could come in. You know, there's a lot of options there and Ahmad's coming back as well. So this is not just... And I think it can be a bad thing. I think sometimes when you're playing and you know that there's no one on the bench, you know your place is safe. I would be looking at my place in that United midfield and attack and I'd be going, am I starting against Bilbao? Am I a starter at the moment? So these players need to show what they're all about and step up. And I think it'll be a draw. A lot of people think Bournemouth will win and they're capable of beating us. But I actually don't think the excuse is there the same as it was against Wolves. We should have beat Wolves. They beat us. People overreacted. We just played 2.5 days before extra time against Lyon. We've had a week off. We're playing a Bournemouth side that's good, but they've only won one in their last six. And their season, okay, they've got European football to play for, but we're playing for the Europa League. We should be more motivated than them, and we've had a week off. So I'm not going to be sat there if we lose going hammer him out. That's ridiculous. But if we lose, I won't be happy. With Wolves, I wasn't happy, but I could understand the context of the game and what had happened on Thursday. With this game, I really want to see preparation for a huge game on Thursday. I don't think there's an excuse to go, oh, we're tired, or, oh, we've got bigger games. I think we've got to go for it and show a bit of form going into two games against Athletic Bilbao or Athletic Club or whatever, Athletic, that will be very, very difficult. So I'm going to go with a draw. I'm going to go 1-1 in relation to that. Hi, Mark. Can you say hi to big up to the Pels? That's from Cobes. Thank you very much for your super chat this morning. Thanks, everyone who's tuning in. Hope talk of new players means the low IQ players start picking up, says Garfield. Well, everybody should start picking up now, because whether you're playing for your future or not, you should do. Interesting point from Original Bro here. What are your thoughts in the chat? He says, Do you think if Anas can find consistency, he could outplace Dorgu in the left wing back position when Dalot comes back? I mean, look, Dorgu's 20 going on 21. I think Amas has just turned 18. I think with Amas, I expect at some point he's going to have some bad games and people will go his ass. You know, that's just the way some people in our chat work. Maybe in our chat, but in our fan base is what I meant to say. So there will be people who will build him up as the next Luke Shaw and then, you know, knock him down as the next Tyler Blackett. If you know, you know. But the point is, Luke Shaw at 18 wasn't the Luke Shaw we're talking about Amas being either. That's the stupidity of people who go, he's the next Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw at 18 wasn't the Luke Shaw you think Amas is going to be. So we've got to be patient with these players. We've got to be patient with Dorgu. We've got to be patient with Garnacho. We've got to be patient with Mainoo. But that's always the big problem, mate. Yoro as well. Can we be patient with these players? Lloyd says, why are you so early? Well, if you watched the show last night, Lloyd, you'd already know. Let him know in the chat. Right, let's move on to a bit of news. Just talking about Mainoo. This came out from David Ornstein yesterday. I missed it, but we doesn't mean we don't talk about it. Basically said that Manchester United, there is a growing sense that Mainoo will stay at Manchester United. Now, this is good news. Smash a like on the video. But it's not surprising news. I said this months ago. I think Sir Jim Radcliffe, Ineos, Sir David Brailsford, Joel Glazer, whatever you want to call this ownership of Manchester United, I think that they are operating in a world where there is a lot of negativity around Manchester United and you need positivity. You need to sell season tickets. You need to sell kits. It's a cynical world around Manchester United at times because they need to generate money. Look, I've said it before. Maybe Amrim really likes that hoodie. Maybe Amrim doesn't mind wearing the hoodie and it helps Man United sell the hoodie. I don't know. But my point is, Manchester United, when they're in the situation they are, where they're not doing very, very well, where they haven't got a lot of money, where they're sacking a lot of people, where they're cutting costs, where they're raising ticket prices, these are not the sort of things that are going to get fans hyped and excited. So they have to come up with strategies. And trust me, Man United have got people who work at Old Trafford who come up with strategies to manipulate us. So the Mainoo story for me has always been a load of nonsense. Because from his side and his people, they've always been baffled by the talk of him leaving when the talk has been about a new contract. So you've got all these people going, oh, Mainoo might be sold in the summer because it's pure profit. But from the Mainoo side, they're like, it's really baffling because it's not the message we're getting. We're in contract talks. That's what's going on. So my personal take on Mainoo has always been, you take a story and turn it into something positive. And if you let it be put out there that Mainoo might leave, but you never confirm or deny it, well, it's nothing to do with us if the Athletic are talking about Mainoo leaving and, you know, everybody else is talking about it. We're not going to confirm or deny it because why would we? It's, you know, we just don't need to. fans get into a little bit of a hissy fit about it. Oh my God, I can't believe we're going to sell Mainoo. We can't believe sell Mainoo. Oh my God, we might sell Mainoo. Mainoo might be going. And then you just sign a new contract. And guess what? It's like a new signing. Subconsciously, it creates a real positive. Oh, so Jim's not that bad. You know, he's not that bad. I thought he was going to sell Mainoo, but he signed him on a new contract. And I think that's, I've always felt that this was 100% about creating a positive story around a player you were never going to sell, but you were going to sign him to a new contract. So I'm not surprised by what David Ornstein said, and we have discussed it a couple of times in fairness, but there's just no way we were ever going to sell Mainoo. And also with Mainoo, when you've got a new kit to sell, we haven't got people like Marcus Rashford anymore or Ronaldo anymore. And Mainoo, Manchester born and bred, you know, very media savvy, got a good team around him. He's the guy you want front of house with the new kit on anyway. They're not selling Mainoo. They were never selling Mainoo. What they were doing is just creating a story out of nothing so that when they do give him a new contract, everyone will go, oh, good old cooking, we're cooking. When actually he was never going anywhere, never going anywhere. I think it might be different with Garnacho though. Also, Fabrizio Romano, a couple of updates from him, basically saying that United haven't shortlisted a target for the centre-back position because their focus is now on getting a deal for Cunha done and then the striker. Centre-back has been discussed several times, but there are no top targets yet. I think this is really interesting because my feeling is that Garnacho from Sporting would be the right deal to do. But the fact that Fabrizio can't find any, you know, viable targets at this moment in time just shows you Cunha would be a very, very good signing. I think we're all in agreement there. But also it does show you that there are reverse psychology, Garfield, exactly, about Mainoo. But in relation to the centre-back, this is where you've got to be very, very careful because it's like being out for a meal tonight and they bring out the main meal. And, oh, look at this. And then you say, what's for dessert? We haven't got one. And you're like, it's a great main meal, but I would have expected a dessert and you haven't even got one. And I think that might be the sort of summer that we have at Man United. Oh, look at this. Cunha and Delap. Oh, yeah. Okay, where's the centre-back and the midfielder? Yeah, what do you mean? Look at Cunha. Look at Delap. And that, I suppose, in a way, might be a concern in the sense that we haven't got any centre-back targets at the moment. Are we even going to get a centre-back? I mean, we presume that the main positions are striker, number 10, midfielder, centre-back, right-sided defender and a goalkeeper. I don't think it's greedy for a team that's finished as badly as we have in the Premier League to say we need six players this summer. I don't think it's greedy. I think in previous summers, we might expect those six signings, but they wouldn't be delivered. But I think based on the season we've had, it's not greedy to say we need those six positions sorting this summer. But do they have the capability to do it? Are we going to go into next season with holes again? And I, you know what? Even if we get those six positions, there are still holes in that team. I'm not even saying if we get those six players, we're okay. I'm just saying if we get those six positions, I would expect us to improve and then we'll have to do it again in the January transfer window or next summer. There's still holes in the team. So, I mean, Yade says we don't need a centre-back. I'd love to know your justification instead of just putting four words that everyone's going to ridicule because we absolutely do. Maguire's going into his last year of his contract and picks up more injuries now. Martinez has basically missed two seasons. De Ligt, yes. Mazraoui, yes. Yoro is still a kid. Heaven is a kid. So we play three centre backs, mate. So we definitely need a centre back. We need a left-footed centre back. Martinez gets injured, might not come back, and Heaven's 17. So we definitely need another centre back. We don't play two centre backs anymore. If you've got six centre backs and you play two centre backs, that's fine. If you've got six centre-backs and you play three centre-backs, that's not enough. We need another one, definitely. You could argue, like Colm says, we need two, but we definitely need one. It could be a Glazer in disguise. I'm okay if we don't... Whoa, Kyle's dropping in one of the most controversial Super Chats of the year. He says, I'm okay if we don't win the Europa League. I think we need a fresh, clean start. I think there is cash involved, but a proper clean slate is healthy. What the hell are you talking about?
My voice is going evil. What the hell are you talking about? I've had about enough of you, Kyle, and your hot takes. That's not a hot take. That's a horrible take. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You're okay if we're not in the Europa League. I think we need a fresh start. Mate, you're not okay. You're deluded. You're absolutely deluded. This clean slate, fresh... You're one of those people who goes, I actually think it'll do us good if we can train all week and not be in Europe. Yeah, it would do us really good, mate. It would do us really good to miss out on about 12 games where we earn shitloads of money for those games. And, yeah, absolutely not. We cannot. I don't think people understand the enormity and severity of Man United not being in Europe at all. We will get by. We'll get by. But we're not meant to be getting by. This is not like a get-by year. This is a year where we need to get on with it. We're not going to go bankrupt, but we've got to go for it. Kiel says, Europa League is a residue of previous managers. What does that even mean? Okay, don't put any more comments in for the today. Have the rest of the day off. Yes, and of course, Fabrizio also said Man United will be quite busy this summer in the transfer window. Well, you know, no shit, Sherlock. I would expect Manchester United to be absolutely busy this summer transfer window. I was thinking about what busy is. And busy, being busy doesn't actually mean get excited. Like, here we go. I need to tell you about that. Being busy doesn't actually mean it'll be good. I was thinking about that. So let's go with what we know. Cunha, Delap, midfielder. That's three signings that we know we're looking to do because Ederson obviously was linked last night. So that's three in. You've then got Rashford. Whether we like it or not, that's work for the club. They've got to negotiate that. They've got to work on that. That's a load of work, unfortunately. That's a lot of work. It takes up a lot of time. Sancho could be added to that if he doesn't get signed by Chelsea. Anthony, if we try to sell him and not loan him, that's another deal there. So that's six deals without going, what about the centre-back? What about a goalkeeper? What about a right wing-back? What about selling Casemiro? You know, what about Onana? So that's busy already. You know, between when you're doing between 6 and 10 deals in a summer, that's very busy. And it doesn't even really touch the sides of what we need to do. So we will be busy, but it doesn't mean busy doesn't mean we're cooking. Busy is like, will we get enough done? I always look at United and say, we're not very quick at deals. So if we've got to sign Cunha, we've got to sign Delap, we've got to sign a midfielder, we've got to sign a centre-back, we've got to sign a right wing-back, and we've got to sign a goalkeeper. I can already tell we're not going to do all that now. I can tell you now, we're not going to do them six deals. We're not quick enough to do those deals in 3 months. That's a sad realization before 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. But we're not doing them six deals, are we? We need to, but there's just no way we're negotiating six deals like that. We're not going to be quick enough to do that. And on top of that, Rashford's going to take a lot of work. Casemiro and Onana will take a lot of work if we can do that work. I just think already it's very obvious that we're not going to do 10 deals this summer. Look, I lay the gauntlet, try and do it, United, definitely, but we won't be quick enough to do those. I mean, we're experienced. We saw what happened last summer. You're talking about United. I mean, look, De Ligt and Mazraoui, we started on them at the start of July. They weren't done till the start of August. We started on Ugarte in July. It wasn't done till the end of August. So I'd say we're sort of what we can be like. We can be like 6 weeks working on a deal. So even if you got generous and average that United take 3 weeks per deal, 3 weeks times 10, that's 30 weeks. How many months is that? You're not doing it, are you? You're not doing it. I want to win the Europa League, not at the cost of false positives, says Sanal. Everyone knows we'll bring players in. I'm more interested in who we can offload, says Like Schofield. I completely agree with you. I had this chat with somebody yesterday about how good do we think the transfer window will be. All I would say to those people is,
if every deal takes 3 weeks and you want to do 10 deals, it's impossible, because 30 months is, not 30 months, 30 weeks is half a year. It's over half a year. So we're not going to do 10 deals this summer, and we need to do about 15. So yeah, we've got to get realistic. And I will judge it on outgoings, yeah, because there's absolutely no point bringing in Cunha, Delap and a midfielder and then keeping Rashford, Antony, Casemiro, Onana. You know, we need to bring players in, 100%. Good question. Will we get a here we go for Wolves this weekend? No, we won't get a here we go for Wolves this weekend. They're playing a game today, and we're playing a game tomorrow. So we won't be getting a here we go. I think when Fabrizio says we're going to get a here we go soon, I think that he means like in the next week or two. But you've got to look at where that would be. Thing about here we go is it can drop. It's not that it's the weekend. It can happen on the weekend. It can happen at 8 o'clock tonight. It can happen at any time. But I think we're probably still a few days away, because as I understand it, we need to have another round of talks. And I don't know that we've even had the talks. I don't know. I've sort of lost it over the last 24 hours. The last I heard, we still haven't finalised the deal with Cunha. And then we've got to speak to Wolves. So how do you have a here we go? We might get a terms agreed with Cunha, and then we've got to speak to Wolves. So I'd still say we're a little bit away. My predictions for United's attacking plans this summer are based on reports. Cunha, Delap, Dibling, Mastan, Tanu. The question is that better? Imagine you get Cunha, Delap and Dibling or Mastan, Tanu, but you lose Antony, Rashford, Garnacho. Is that better or worse? Or is it around the same? I wouldn't like those three with Garnacho going. Let me put it that way. I really wouldn't. Thanks very much for that, Rohan. Okay, I've got to go. I've got a match to go. Thanks everyone for tuning in this morning. Absolute legends. I am back today. I might be back doing a 2 o'clock, actually. We'll see if there's any breaking news. But certainly we've got the 8 o'clock show tonight. And I'm doing the Villa Crystal Palace FA Cup watch along on That's Football a little bit later as well. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, everyone, who's saying good luck. Appreciate that. My daughter's playing in the cup final. So appreciate that. And I will speak to you a little bit later. Have a great day, evening, whatever you're up to. And we'll catch up later. Stay safe.